Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith. That is Kaz Kenny.
Kapow!
And I am Eddie Bramble, and this is episode 55 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast. 55.
We're getting old, man. We're getting old, dude.
Pull your mic a little closer. You know better than that.
Double digits, man.
Yeah, we've been in double digits.
Double digits, baby. It's like big snake heads, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, Kaz, start us off this week's fishing report.
It's been mixed everything still. A little white perch here, some crappie here, lots of snake heads everywhere, some catfish, some eels. A lot of eels been showing up. I know a lot of people been saying, man, I'm catching a lot of eels over Key Wallace on the bottom. Well, that's just a good place to catch eels for sure. Over the Nanticoke, you know, blue catcher, they're starting to, you know, kind of slow down a little bit as they're starting to get a little warmer water and start to move a little forward. A few perch over in the marshy hope still being caught. Some bass, some pickerel. Snakeheads, Barron Creek, lots of snakeheads. Down the Quantico area, lots of stuff down there people aren't really looking for that's available. I mean, we found a couple spots here in the last 2 weeks that we don't think anybody's even really paid any attention to that are choked with snakeheads. So, you know, if you get out and you look around and you really do some homework with Google Maps and just kind of look at, you know, everything's running to the head right now. So, you know, everything's coming up these creeks, these tributaries, these canals. They're going as far up as they can. They're getting ready to start pairing. They're getting ready to start breeding. So, you know, a lot of stuff's getting ready to start unfolding here. We know around the bay, a lot of things are going. Today's going to be a great episode because we got great a lot episode. Of people from around the bay we're talking to. Then next week, we got Joe Love coming in. Following, we got Josh Newhart coming in. We got some newly released data to share with everybody that's pretty alarming and pretty scary in some ways, you know what I mean? Right. Really makes you stop and think about some of the stuff that we're getting ready to put out. So, you know, as far as what's been working the best down here, the snakehead destroyer swim baits, you know, we've been catching a lot of fish on those too. A little bit of everything's been actually biting this bait, believe it or not. I mean, Brian Dolph, an old school tackle company, I mean, this has just been amazing for us. Perch, crappie.
A nice perch on one.
Had a guy yesterday said he caught a 6.5-pound largemouth on one. Tame pickerel down in Salisbury. Guy's been catching them on down there. You know, Darryl Willie's stuff's been really doing some pretty good stuff. A lot of his inline spinners, chatterbaits, things like that. One of the baits that I've really been doing really, really good with in the ditches is this froglet by Lunker Hunt. Yeah. So if you haven't seen this, you know, Eddie can tell you, you can really throw this thing a pretty good ways and pretty accurately. The way that this thing's weighted and shaped, I'm really, really having some other ideas about some baits.
The problem is I'm already all out of them. I got more coming, but they're not here. Well, so
everything's backward. That's the thing.
It's a rough time for everything.
For those of you guys that are night fishing, I mean, I don't know if you can see it in the camera, if I kind of cover it up with these little glow-in-the-dark. These are glow-in-the-dark dart spins. These are the hyperlastics that we were telling you about that are just really, really durable. I know that Ricky Seagard, my cousin, this is all he's using pretty much. That's the only thing he's using. You look at the size of the fish he's catching. Might not be getting a lot, but the ones he's getting are giant. You know what I mean? For the guys throwing live bait, that's been the most effective thing down here and most everywhere else. You know, you're always going to do good with bait. You know, so
Minnesota key.
You know, so a 1/0 Eagle Claw bait holder hook, that's what we're using, under 1.5 to 1.75 round weighted bobber. I'm just trying to touch on a couple different things. The weight
now, a lot of people like the cigar bobbers, you know that. A lot of people like those. I'm not a fan of them, but yeah, Gary, hold him up there he is.
The thing I like about the cigar bobber and where the application becomes really important is when the fish are finicky, because you don't have such a round, you know, there's not as much resistance when they're trying to pull down, so they're less likely to feel the difference, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know for me, this was really good bait for me last week, the Savage. Mouse.
I like the live target mice better.
Well, I did bring that up here because I didn't want to talk about that.
I like those better.
So that's the live target mice, you know, I like them because you can throw them a long ways too. I just like these.
They swim better.
I like these the way they wake on the top. And I like to watch the fish as they come behind it and just kind of, oh man, that just gets you going, you know. So, I mean, as far as fishing goes, a little bit of everything everywhere. So you don't know if you don't go. That's my favorite saying, you know. The guys that toughed it out the other day in the rain, actually a few of them fellows loaded up in the pouring rain, you know. So you never know when it's going to happen. It can happen when you least expect it. And that's kind of like the coolest thing about snakehead fishing. I was talking to Mike Stewart, and we're going to talk to him in a minute here, but I was talking to him the other day about, you know, the whole stick and move thing. And, you know, you've heard me saying this for years, and I know we've all learned as we're growing together that, you know, if we get to a place and we're fishing and we know what we're looking for now. You know, if you've been in this game for some time, you know, it's you're not really so much asking for guidance. You're really trying to unravel the mystery now. You know what I mean? Once you've got pointing in the right direction, you know, it's more of you trying to just figure out this whole pie and how it all works. You know what I mean? And
yep.
If you can bring it together, you can be very, very successful. And a lot of the guys here, you know, they're throwing bait, they're throwing lures, they're mixing it up, they're sticking, they're moving. They're not spending 3 hours waiting to see if something happens. You know, if I get there and nothing's happening in 5-10 minutes, I don't see feeding, I'm gone to the next spot, you know? So you don't know if you don't go. They can't all be big, but they can all be fun. And, man, we are catching a lot of fish, period.
We are that. That's for sure. So we got how many guests we have this week?
I think we got 4 or 5 that we're going to be talking to today. A little bit about everything around the state, you know? So yeah, we got a bunch of giveaways to do.
At least 5 here.
You know, as a matter of fact, before we even get started.
No, tell them the number. Do they want 1, 2, 3, or 4?
So here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna pick a number 1, 2, 3, or 4. Or no, 1, 2. Well, just do 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
We'll do 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So for right now, we'll do 1, 2, 3 on CCA. Anybody out there, pick a number 1, 2, or 3. The first one to go in there gets that prize. Is that what you want to do?
Yep.
Okay. So put I want number 1 or I want number 2, I want number 3.
You got to make a choice of which number. You can't do all 3 of them.
Yep. The first comment in there, you can have one of them prizes.
Yep.
While we're waiting on that, let's bring Mike on. Yeah. You know, I've been talking to Mike a little bit this week, and I want to talk about some of the excursions he's been having. We've been watching him with his kid down here, watching him doing some bow hunting. Hey, Karate Mike, where you at? You here, baby?
What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, my friend? How you been? Everything going?
Doing awesome, bro. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, everybody's paying attention to you, so we want to bring you in here and let's brag a little bit. So, talk to me about what you've been up to, man. What's been going on? Where you been fishing at? Where you been hunting at? Talk to us. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, you know, I love fishing down on the shore, man. I live actually in Reisterstown, so I got closer spots, but I've just fallen in love with Blackwater, and I love it down there. I love the vibe, the people. It's like a home away from home for me now. That's why I've been catching a lot of my fishes. I've actually been venturing and finding some of my own spots outside of the refuge. But, you know, I'll still hit the heavily pressured spots and catch fish almost every time. So that's kind of what I've been up to. And then, of course, whenever I can get out with Working Class Outdoorsmen and their crew, Captain McNather and those guys, they take good care of us. We bow fish and just load up the coolers.
Yeah, so let's touch a little bit on what you've been doing there. We're not worrying about where your spot is or anything like that. I mean, what are you guys seeing out there? Are you seeing lots of snakeheads? I mean, what are you guys seeing at night under the lights? Talk to us.
So let me tell you something, and you know, I used to be a catch and release guy. I admit it. I'm reformed now, and whatever people want to do, that's up to them. But after coming down to the shore and seeing the biomass there, and then especially after getting out and bow fishing, you wouldn't believe the thousands. I mean, people see how much we kill, but we miss more than we kill. And man, I'm telling you, I missed a hog the other day, every bit of 17 or 18 pounds. And I mean, they're pairing up, we're gigging them, we're shooting them, we're blow gunning them. There are so many, and this is both Western Shore. You know, Nick takes people Western Shore most of the time, but every now and then we'll get out on the Eastern Shore too. You know, I don't want to give up his spots. If you want to go fish with Nick, you got to hit him up. And you know, I know you guys respect that, but he's, you know, he does it for a living. So I try to just push as much business to him as I can, because I just do it for fun.
Absolutely. Give Nick a little plug. How can folks get in touch with him to get a bow fishing trip out? Or, you know, how can we get them pointed in the right direction?
Yep. The best way to hit up Nick is on Instagram, Working Class Outdoorsman. And just shoot him a DM. He's real good about getting in touch with people. I know he's pretty booked up, but, man, if you want to kill some snakehead, get on the books for early next season.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, man, because he's going to start transitioning into carp and big blue catfish and stuff like that, which, you know, the blue cats will kill 100 in a night. And some of them are 60 pounders, man. It's incredible. But,
yeah, that's a
you know, when you bow fish, you see how many snakehead there really are,
right,
and how big they are and where they're at, where they're getting. And when I tell you they're everywhere, I'm telling you they're everywhere.
Yeah. Speaking of seeing them, you said you've seen them pairing up already?
Yep, we're seeing them pairing up, and then when I'm fishing too, all the females are full of eggs, ready to burst already.
Yeah, we've seen the females with loads of roe for probably 3 or 4 weeks already, yeah. at least. If
I think they're just trying to put the timing right. You know, we know they can start and stop the cycle at any minute. So, right. You know, I know a couple weeks ago I saw a few canopies that I was pretty sure, you know, were snakeheads. But then the next day when I went and looked, the canopies were gone. The fish weren't there. So I don't know what happened. I think it got cold and they moved out, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah, when we had that cold spell with the snow, I think that really shut things down. But if they're pairing up again already, that's crazy.
Yeah, I've had a few guys here say they're pairing them up. I heard a couple guys down Reagan's Corner saying they saw some down there that were pairing
they're
up.
They're ready, man.
Mike, I know. Talk about your son. You know, you've been bringing him down here. He's been having a hell of a time when watching the videos you're making with him, man. That's some really, really good stuff. I mean, what how much enjoyment does that bring you just to get him out of the house and to spend a day with him?
I mean, it means everything to me, bro. And, you know, just sharing the beautiful natural resources that we have in Maryland, especially on the Eastern Shore with my kid. It's something my pops grew up doing with me. You know, we used to hunt a lot and fish a lot down Hooper's Island and stuff like that. And my dad's a charter boat captain. So I kind of grew up, you know, with the love for fishing too. And now I'm passing that on to my son and he just loves it, man. There's nothing like him just coming out and he just loves getting slimy and filthy and finding stuff. And, you know, it's just I highly recommend people get your kids involved in it. Teach them a life lesson. Teach them skills that they can use for the rest of their lives, you know?
Now we've been seeing you cleaning a lot of fish. How's the freezer looking there over there? It's got to be looking pretty good. And are you sharing with your friends and stuff like that? You turn them on to some snakehead meat?
Yeah, man. And, you know, we do big fish fries at the academy, so I try to turn people onto it that way. And starting to see it sold in more stores and stuff like that. The interest is definitely there for people that want to eat them. And, yeah, I love eating them. So like, I keep everyone that I kill, even the small, I kill everyone and eat everyone that we catch. You know, a lot of people, they see 50, 60 snakehead in a cooler or on the deck of the boat after we bow fish and they think we're wasting them. But man, like, there's no shortage of people that want to eat them.
That's right. That's
exactly, you know, right. I hook up the people on my private spots that I fish for. They appreciate it. I give them some nice boneless vacuum sealed bags. They appreciate it. Keeps the relationship going so I can keep going back to these honey holes. You know what I'm saying? And just if I can touch on that for a minute, like Kaz was saying, guys, I still fish heavily pressured spots and produce. But like Kaz said, if I'm seeing swirls and I'm seeing bubbles and I'm seeing them jump, then I'll stay and I'll check it out. If not, I leave. And the best spots that I found are just from getting on Google Earth or getting on my GPS and just kind of getting lost a little bit, meeting some people, asking, getting in touch with some locals and finding my own spots. There are so much untouched spots out there that have been yet to be discovered. So,
The coolest thing for me last week,
do a little bit of work.
Well, I can tell you last week, you know, Damien was out riding around a lot and, you know, he kind of stumbled on a little spot and kind of like told me about it. I went down to a little reconnaissance there and, oh my gosh, man. You know, I want to talk a little bit about your successful trip here the last time. You know, we were talking about, you know, you weren't putting a lot of time in, you were moving and how it eventually paid off for you guys. Wound up with how many fish the other day? Was it 20 some or something like that?
Almost 20. We caught 19.
Okay.
We should have had more. We should have had about 30, a bunch of short strikes and stuff like that.
Right. So that pattern, you know, you wound up getting your 20 from, you know, talking to you by not staying in one spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's easy, you know, and anyone that's been fishing for these fish for a long time will tell you it's easy for them to trick you. You know, you're in a spot for 5-10 minutes and then nothing's happening. Maybe you get one short strike and, you know, you see one jump and you're stuck there for another hour because they kind of lure you and stay in that spot. But man, the swirls are the big thing that I look for, them coming up for air, the correct structure, the correct, you know, water temperature and depth. You know, for me, if the wind's blowing really hard, difficult, I think that's the most challenging factor for me. And yeah, like if I'm in a spot, like I know now, like the pattern that I'm looking for in that spot. And if I don't see if I see a ton of carp in an area, I leave. I think the carp scare them off.
Yes.
I've been saying that for 2 years now.
They can't see anything. The water's some money.
Yep.
So I'm out. If I see a bunch of carp, it could be a money spot. But what, like I always say, is the right spot at the wrong time is the wrong spot.
Exactly.
So I got to find the timing of it And honestly, I've been having a lot more success later in the day. We're having the water warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
The window we've been crushing is between like 1 and 4. And, you know, I'm throwing artificials all day long. We caught someone some swim baits. We caught someone some the Tytech Noisy Flapper always produces for me. We had him hitting some top water. But I've been taking the bait boys, and Damien's been getting some hog minnows lately, dude. And what I've been doing is just putting the biggest minnow I can find. And then the smallest minnow I can find,
yeah,
or the number one hook, no bobber, and let it kind of float to the bottom, and just wait for that line to zip off. Let him pull the slack out, and we've been catching almost all of them with no bobber. You gotta be careful on the structure. But it's high risk, high reward.
That's right. And you know what? I've always said, if you're going to take the risk, you're going to get the reward.
Yep.
Mike, look, we're going to cut off with you and jump on to the next guest, but I just wanted to have you touch on some things. Before I let you go, let's talk about Rising Tide. You know, I know you've got this motivational thing that you're doing on Facebook, you know, and you're
good stuff.
Yeah, you're pumping people up, you know, you're sharing some of your excitement with the public, you're asking some pretty good questions that make you stop and think about life, you know what I mean? So why don't you go ahead and give Rising Tide a little plug and let people know what you're doing with that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a free group for not just entrepreneurs, but anyone really interested in, you know, bettering their future and personal self-development. The group is just called The Rising Tide. It's ran by me and my brothers. You know, we've been pretty successful. And my view is that the rising tide lifts all boats. So you should always try to give back. That's why I wanted to come on today and always will support you guys, because I know you guys, you know, live by that same ethos, trying to help people out. You know, not being real guarded with information. Cause look, man, you don't get ahead that way. So, if you're interested, come check it out.
All right. Well, hey, Mike, I want to say thanks for coming on here with us. We're going to move on to Dave Sikorsky next, get him on the line. And we'll talk to him a little bit about the great invasives and what he's got going on. And look forward to talking to you and seeing you soon down here. Take it easy, brother. And I'm glad we made good on that kiss on the face. So,
hey, man, I'm a man of my word.
All right, Mike. Thank see you,
buddy. Bye.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the giveaways, you know. So number one.
Right there.
So that was Ryan West. You know, you picked number one. So what you're going to get from CCA is an LED spin, okay? So this is just a little thing here that you can, you know, clip your line with, you know, hang on your keychain.
With an LED on it.
Yeah, with an LED on it. This is very nice, Dave. Thank you very, very, very much for that. And then number two, you know, for the person that picked number two first, which was Justin Ehring, I've got this really nice
measuring...
You can put that right on your boat.
Also from CCA.
Whatever. That's from all three of these prizes are from CCA, from Dave Sikorsky, okay? And then number three, we're going to have, who do we have for number three? Do we have a number three?
Yes, Robert Murphy.
So Robert Murphy, so we're going to give you this real nice tumbler right here that CCA gave to us, you know, 25-year anniversary. So we'll check that out. I know that we got another delivery coming in from Brady Feltz on the Nantaberry Chanadai Custom Baits. I know they should be coming in here really soon. We did get another order of Old School Customs. So we got swim baits, you know, back in stock. So if anybody needs some of those also, I know a couple of the other shops have reached out to us and asked about buying quantity of the Snakehead Destroyers by the box or by the pallet. That's no problem. Eddie will get some, you know, we're going to get... respond back to Anglers or Arsenal, a bunch of other people that have reached out to us here in the next day or two, and we'll get all that taken care of. So if you're looking for that and you want to distribute the Snakehead Destroyer Swim Bait, let us know, and we'll be happy to let you do that.
I think we're good.
Are we good? So let's jump in there with Dave. Where's Dave at? Dave, come in, Dave.
What do you say, guys? How you
doing
today?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, buddy.
I've been listening along, and, man, I'll tell you what. Gonna be tough to beat Mike and all that great stuff he was talking about.
I know, right?
And Boots still.
I know. I can't beat his fishing. I've been sitting here watching his report or his catching on Facebook from my office desk or you know my office chair. Going, man, I need to fish more. And stuff talking
to I think we all do.
I say that every day.
Did you try them boots on, man? They still fit you. I've had them so long. I thought maybe feet grew banana.
My boots fit. I will admit, I will be chasing some. And fish this weekend and maybe even a turkey next week. So good. I'm deal. Excited. Spring is sprung. It's time to get outside.
So talk to us about what you got going on. What do you want to talk about today? Let's talk about some good juicy stuff. We want to talk about the great invasives catch and what's going on with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the great Chesapeake invasives count, which we couldn't do without our great friends at Yamaha Wright Waters. Of course, Yamaha Outboards, such a great company that so many fishermen, you know, propel so many fishermen across the water. They're giving back, and they're supporting CCA Maryland, and we're so proud to have them on board. It gives me the opportunity to do this kind of work with great partners like you all. Excuse me, like you all. The Great Chesapeake Invasives Count is a citizen science effort, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It is a platform for our community, everyone. It's not just CCA. Yeah, if you're a member, you get some extra prizes and whatnot, but it's all about some of the stuff that you guys were already talking about today, working together, and it's all about science and supporting what Maryland DNR and Fish and Wildlife Service don't have the resources to capture. So we're capturing data. We're not sharing spots. We're asking people to volunteer that information to us, and we're rewarding them with prizes. So,
and from what I understand, everything is going magnificently wonderful from what I've heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got 79 participants right now. I'm actively checking in catches, 44 catches so far, snakeheads and blue cats. We've got some great participation already. The iAngler tournament app, the Angler Action Foundation allows us to do this using technology. But I'll tell you, guys like Mike getting out there bow fishing, people record weight, length, stomach contents in any sort of way. We can compile it. I'll do the work and also include folks in for prizes that way. We're trying to get as much data as possible because I know people have listened to y'all talk about data in the past and how important it is for managers.
Extremely.
It is literally the most important thing possible to understand.
I don't want to talk too much about what we discussed yesterday, but we talked about some really important things with Dr. Joe Love and with Josh and mm-hmm. with Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we've got some data that will be forthcoming here real soon. And it is all just, it's fresh stuff, and that's what everybody's been asking for. So we're going to deliver it, and we're going to deliver it next week on the show for everybody to see and lay it out for you in black and white, So you'll be able to ask the questions that you want to ask, if you have trick questions that you think that you need an answer to, send it on in here, man. That's what we're going to do next week. We're just going to break this whole thing down in 2 weeks. One with Joe Love and then the following week with Josh Newhard. We're going to break that down in 2 weeks, what's really going on, not just here, but over in the Potomac too, because, we're talking to lots of people in the Potomac and what we've got and what we're hearing, two different things. So we want to just try to balance that out, let people know really what the real deal is and what's really going on. And we're going to talk a little bit about Conowingo Dam and what's going on up there with the fish ladder and Haltwood and stuff like that. So got a lot of stuff coming out. And, as far as you guys go, you're going to be a sponsor, one of our sponsors for our first tournament that's coming up.
All four tournaments.
Yeah, all four tournaments. Yeah. But, this first one coming up, you're going to be there. I know that. And, we want to thank CCA for the interest and helping us, too. We're going to do everything that we can to help CCA. I know you were talking a little bit about Engle. Where's Engle falling into all this, the coolers? I know they've got something going on with you. Why don't you tell the public about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll talk more about prizes. Engle Coolers has been a great sponsor of CCA for a long time. They're the original high-performance cooler. They're the official cooler of CCA Maryland. And, I was happy to send down a 13-quart live bait cooler dry box. So it's like a combination dry box cooler. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better platform to take care of those bait boys' baits. I mean, perfect. And so we're happy to donate that to anybody that registers for the invasives count, which is free, and signs up for the Snakehead Spring kickoff with your series is entered to win this live bait cooler. And they'll pick it up right at the store, right at the Wolford store at the captain's meeting on May 1st. So sign up for the tournament, sign up for the invasives count for free. And one of y'all is going to have literally the Cadillac of live bait coolers.
I tell you, when I opened that box, man, I was just like, holy cow, this thing is awesome. This thing looks great.
I noticed it hasn't been down there for the last couple of days, and there was a new cooler over there on my porch. Anybody notice that? Wish.
Make you proud to be a minnow.
Yeah. I'm proud to be a minnow. That's right. Dave, what else you want to talk about? Anything going on out there you want to talk about? I mean, what anything you want to update us? What's going on with reef balls? Doing anything anymore with that?
Well, yeah, but I'll give you that in a second, but let me just remind people that in the count, the way it works is every single month for the 7 months, April through October, just by participating, logging catch, and signing up, you get a chance to be awarded monthly prizes. And so you guys have given us 10 $25 gift certificates to the Wolford store. Thank you, everybody, Blackwater's Edge and the store. because we're going to draw 10 prizes April 31st. So if you're fishing and you're not logging your catch this month, you're missing out. It's an opportunity to win. And reef balls, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's such an important part of what we do at CCA.
Absolutely.
We build habitat through our Living Reef Action campaign. We just got a really exciting news about some really cool outreach work we're going to do right there in Dorchester County. We're doing some outreach work with all sorts of anglers that that fish at the Bill Burton Pier. There's actually reef balls already at the Bill Burton Pier at the end of the pier between the fishing pier and the Route 50 bridge. There's already a reef down there. We're going to add reef balls to that. You guys are going to come out and build them with us.
Yeah, we'll be right there.
A bunch of other partners. We're going to do this with folks in Cambridge, folks from Talbot County as well. I just talked to our friends at Shore Rivers. They're going to be helping out, doing a lot of really cool work this summer and into the future. We're going to be installing a web camera on the pier, so underwater, 24/7, 365. Awesome. Yep, you'll be able to watch what's happening at this reef that you can help build as a volunteer. We're going to put out some signage and some bait cutting stations as well on the pier. And we can only do this because of great partnerships. And this is partially funded by NOAA, the Office of Habitat, so federal government supporting recreational angling. And, you know, if folks don't know, by becoming a recreational angler, by buying your license, by buying tackle, you all support some of these funding mechanisms that exist on a federal and state level to do this kind of work. So I may not go fishing a lot, but I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world to be able to work every day on behalf of our membership at CCA, recreational anglers in general, to promote fishing. And, you know, it takes all of us. That's the spirit of the count. That's why we have the great support from folks like Yamaha and Angler Action Foundation, Angle. It's why we're supporting your tournament. We're truly a community, and I'm just really happy to be part of it. So I can't thank you guys enough for your partnerships and friendships, and we're going to keep rocking and rolling. We got 7 months of a lot of fun, a lot of citizen science, and a lot of prizes for anglers that are willing.
I always say, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. So let's just keep putting one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, and let's keep getting it. And 10 years, we can all look back and say, dang, look what we did. You know what I mean?
Maybe. That's our hope anyway.
Maybe that's what we're hoping anyway, you know? Absolutely. All right, well, look, Dave, I'm going to hop off of here. I just wanted to give you a shout, talk to you. I wanted to plug the Great Invasives. I wanted to plug the tournament. I wanted you to talk a little bit about some of the sponsors. Anything else you want to touch on before we jump out of here?
Just telling you, once again, everybody, the Great Chesapeake Invasives Count is one giant big tent that everybody is welcome under. Give me a shout. Give me a call. Contact us, message us on Facebook, you name it. I want you all to be a part of it too if you're listening to this, and I can't wait to hang up now and listen to the rest of your
Before you hang up, tell them how they sign up for the Great Invasives.
CCAMD.org/count.
Awesome.
All right. Well, hey, Dave.
You can find out how to partner, how to sign up, how to everything, and keep rocking and rolling, boys. Thank you.
Hey, we love you, man. Thank you for being a part of the journey with us.
Thank you.
All right, so next we're going to get a hold of Peter. We're going to get Peter yep. on the line, and then after that we'll have Roy coming up after that. In the meantime, let's give away some more stuff. So, all right, so we got some old school tackle here, some one runs. I've got 1, 2, 3. Nah, we're not going to do that this time. Here, you want this pack of
one runs?
One runs.
What did we call them last time? Mints.
Yeah, we called them mints last time.
Yeah, so monster, mints.
Monster mints. So these are 5-inch grubs. There's 8 in a bag. You can have that bag right there. So what I want you to say is give me the special reserve. Give me the special reserve. First person to put it in there gets that pack. All right. And then let's go ahead and give away another bag of these old schools. We'll call this the Tan and Stan. How's that?
Tan stand.
Another 5-inch grub here. I like this color here. Kind of reminds me of kind of a crayfish color, kind of after a molt. So if you want that, give me the crayfish. Put that in there. Give me the crayfish. All right. So next up, we're going to have my good friend Peter on here. He's been coming down here with Rob. They've been doing some snakehead fishing. Have we got Peter on the line here, sir. Gary?
Peter, there?
Hey, Kaz. Hey, fellas.
Hey, Pete, what's going on, brother? Let's talk a little fishing, man. You've been down here kicking some ass. I hate to use the ass word, but good job, brother.
Yeah, filling the tailgate.
So talk a little bit about your trips, man. What kind of pattern you've been putting together? What you guys been doing?
I tell you what, the early in the year, it's all about them destroyers, you know? So I haven't gotten to throwing artificials quite yet. Just been throwing the juicy destroyers under a bobber, and it fills the cooler, you know? It's nothing nothing spectacular, you know.
You're not just filling the cooler, but you're filling your belly and you're helping others too, right?
Absolutely, man. I love sharing them. I mean, I got a real quick story about that. I shipped some up to a buddy in Delaware a couple of years ago, and he's handicapped, couldn't fish for him. Man, he was so grateful, and now it's like regular shipments going out up there now. So it's like, yeah. So I don't mind sharing them. I got a big family, but I can only eat so much, you know?
Right. So you've been drifting minnows, you shallow, deep. Talk to us about the progression of a day. Because what we've been trying to tell anglers, you know, and you just heard Mike say it, and you've heard some other folks say it, afternoon time has been pretty much a good time for them now. So for you, what has been your best window for you here, you know, on your last couple trips? I know you're not getting them crack ass in the morning, you know, but probably in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, exactly like Mike was saying, and it's tough to follow Mike and Dave. They were a tough act to follow, but they were good to listen to. But, yeah, later in the day, I mean, we've been getting them since, like, mid-March, you know, but you wait for those warmer, you know, afternoons. And, shoot, sometimes I don't even get on the water till 3 fishing, and, you know, and it's like the hot time, you know. And my buddy Pat and I, Pat's listening right now, him and I really got it to him last week.
Yeah, I saw.
And, yeah, I mean, we caught 20 fish, and like Mike was saying, a lot of short strikers, too. We should have had double that, but they were just short striking it. But we got like 20 of them. I got my personal best at 32, you know, and running about 12 inches under the bobber. But sometimes you got to experiment. And, Kaz, you taught me that a long time ago, you know. Sometimes they want it a little deeper. Sometimes they want it right under that bobber, you know.
It's funny because I was fishing one day this week and a guy come up to me and he says, "Can I see your rig when you reel in again?" I said, "Yeah." And I picked it up literally. I was fishing a corner, a real shallow corner, and I literally only had the minnow not even 2 inches under the bobber. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, like I tell folks, you know, they're operating on sound, you know, they're operating on what they're hearing. So if you've got that minnow tight to that bobber and you're doing that little pop, pop, pop with that, you know, bobber, you're not, that minnow is so close, you're really giving him a tight, quick, real quick jerk. And it's almost enough to send him into a frenzy himself and they just start flopping everywhere. And that's usually when they hit it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you guys, I know you guys been working over 335 in that area. You guys been working any of the marsh, any other places outside of there or what?
So far just 335. Now in the past years, I've hit a lot of different spots. My buddy Pat bought this pond prowler. It's real nice two-seater that we can get to different little spots. We can hand launch it down there. And so
we, man, them things are wonderful.
Yeah, him and I aren't little guys, and it's amazing how seaworthy that boat is. You can even stand up to relieve yourself and not worry about falling out. It's amazing. It's worth its weight in gold, I tell you what, because we started with a canoe, and that was like two unbalanced Indians, you know? So
you made me think of a trip with Donald Jones. We took this canoe of mine when we were first getting into this thing, and we took it up Egypt Road. And we put this old town canoe in there. Me and him really didn't know much of what we were doing, who to paddle what side, how to steer, anything like that. You should have seen us out there going in circles in that thing trying to figure it out. And not just but the whole stability thing, you know. You know, Don's a pretty big guy. You lean to the left, lean to the right. You were tilting a good 7-8 inches. And if you went a little bit more, you know, there were times I'd lean the opposite way to balance it, or he'd lean the opposite way because we were getting ready to go over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you wear yourself out correcting your weight the whole day. You know what I mean? And, we got that pond prowler, throw it in the bed of my Tundra, and it's nice. No trailer needed. We can hand launch it anywhere. It's nice.
So have you been doing any other fishing, any crappie fishing, anything like that? I know you guys had some perching going on before you guys started getting the snakeheads with the yellow perch and stuff. But what is it? Pretty much just snakeheading here lately, or what else are you going to do? Anything else?
You know, I've been hitting the shad. They're fun to catch and release. And that's an interesting story. I ran up the Susquehanna the other day. Now I live in Westminster. My brother's in Harford County. He's like, "Meet me up the river. Let's go catch some shads." I drive an hour and a half to fish for 2 hours, you know. And no lie, there were more snakehead fishermen on that river than there were shad fishermen. I was shaking my head. Talked to a guy at the parking lot. Had 3 of them that were like identical 30 inches, like bookends. It was insane.
And that was up in the river?
In the main river with a heavy flow. I was shocked.
Wow.
Yep, they're casting rattle traps. And here I'm shaking my head thinking that they're like trying to catch rockfish, which obviously you can't. And then I find out that no, they're snakehead fishing up there. There's some PA guys from Lancaster they're like, man, I wish more would get over that dam. I know it sounds selfish. I'm like, yeah, it does sound selfish, but you know, yeah, I mean, there were more people up there fishing for the snakeheads than there were shad, which is crazy because I've been fishing them shad 30 plus years, you know?
You know, I was going to touch on that a little bit. I talked to somebody earlier today who talked to me, you know, about being up the river and what they were doing and what they were catching and what they were targeting. And they were smallmouth fishing and told me that pretty much all that they were catching were snakeheads in the pools where they would normally be finding smallmouth this time of the year in the early season than big ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's a shame, man, because that's a world-class smallmouth fishery up there. It'd be a shame to see that decimated.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to talking to Rob later in the podcast about what's been going on up at Conowingo Dam. So, look, Peter, I just want to touch base with you and check in. You know, we're going to move on to Roy next and get him on the line here. So, Roy, get yourself ready. We're going to be calling you here in just a second.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm humbled for you having me on.
Hey, I just want to thank you for all the support you've given us over the years. You know, I mean, you've been in the game with us now going on probably 5 or 6 years anyway. So
absolutely.
You know, we appreciate you and everything you've done to help us. So we want to say thank you. And hey, man, have a good night, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. So now let's get back on the last two giveaways that we had. So we had... what do we got there, buddy? Okay, so on the Green Mint, you got Matt Martin. Matt, you're going to get that pack of old school
one runs.
And then on the crawfish, it's Paul Barragar. I hope I said that right. Paul Barragar. Am I saying that right?
That's what
it
looks
like,
you got
that right there. While we're waiting to get Mr. Roy Boyd back on the line, let's go ahead and give something else away. Are you sure?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, all right. Eddie wants to give away a bag of snakehead destroyers this early in the show. No, I'm just kidding. We're about halfway through.
Yeah, we're already halfway through.
So if you want to win a free bag of 3.5-inch slim snakehead destroyers, what do you want them to say, Eddie? This is your baby.
Let's get them to say, I love snakehead destroyers.
I love snakehead destroyers. That works for me. All right, so now on our next one run here, this is a color that I've been using here a little bit on some of the bridges. Rockfish really seem to like them. I'm not fishing for them, but they seem to like it. I've been searching for some trout and some other stuff. So this is one run, 5-inch grub, quantity of 8. Let's call this...
It looks like almost like a grayish June bug. That's what it reminds me of.
I was going to say kind of June buggy. So let's June bug or something. How about, what do you want me to say?
Let's go. I like June bugs.
Okay, say I love June bug. And you can have this pack of curly tails here right now. Let's see what else we got going on. Have we been able to get a hold of Roy?
No. I know he's listening because he's been in the comments.
He's been in the comments. I love snakehead destroyers. So you got that one. I also like that Tony. Yeah, just recheck the number on Roy again real quick. Bear with us, folks.
Yeah, looks like Tony Olazuk. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sorry, Tony, if I butchered that. But yeah, Tony, you won those snakehead destroyers.
All right, then we'll give away one more bag of these crayfish color things. Say, I don't know. I love old school, and you can have that pack of grubs right there.
Oh, you gotta pick the winner for the June bugs.
For the June bugs, that was
Like Moffitt Welding. Moffitt Welding.
So I know that guy very well. And then what color was that one?
That's the June bugs.
The June bugs. Okay, and then on the ones that we just did, I love old school. That's going to go to Moffitt Welding. You won. You can't win again. Mark, looks like Mark Bragger. Mark Bragger, you're going to get that pack right there. So put his name on that pack right there.
I got it.
I'm still trying to get a hold of
him. How's it looking, Gary?
There you go. It says Kevin Wood Verizon. That's the number that I've got for him.
So let me double check. Let Kaz double check it.
It's not 443, is it?
Let's check in here real quick.
Pardon us, folks. Cavus gave us
410-218.
Oh. No. Don't be giving out Roy's number like that. My goodness. Holy cow. Roy Kaz is trying to get you catcalled.
Try that. Yeah, now 410. All right, we got Roy Boyd coming in, so sit tight. Here we go.
Try again. Roy, get off your phone.
No, it's 218, Gary.
That's all right. It's okay, Gary. We know you need your glasses sometimes, but it's okay.
Still ain't got it.
All right, folks, while we're waiting on Roy, we're going to talk about the tournaments real quick.
Yeah, so let's talk about tournaments.
So remember, guys, May 1st, Snakehead Spring Kickoff. We talked about it with Dave. $50 to enter. We have some Calcuttas, heaviest, longest, most caught, and we have the heaviest of the year, of course. Each one of those is $10 to enter. And, of course, kids always fish free in our tournaments. Kids have their own division. So, yeah, he's on there. Yep, so, okay, so, yeah, we got May 1st. Remember that spring kickoff. And then June 19th, we've got the Snakehead Mayhem Tournament. July 31st is going to be the Summer Slam. September 18th, the Blackwater Snakehead Open.
And if you sign up for all four tournaments,
you get the Snakehead Club for free.
And we have a special announcement we're going to be making about the Snakehead Club later in the show. We don't want to talk about that yet.
So don't go into all of it. Okay. Yeah. All right, so we got Roy on?
We got Roy on the phone. Yes, Roy, sir. Where are you at, baby? You here?
I'm right here, man. All right,
let's talk about the West Side, man. What's going on over there? Talk to us. What you got going on?
Where do you want to start?
I'll tell you what. Let's talk a little bit. Let's start right off the bat. You've been building this new Snakehead rig. Where you at with it?
The boat's ready. My sling bow is ready. I'm slaughtering them this year.
Talk a little bit about the sling bow real quick.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the sling bow. Let everybody know about what you got going on with that.
It's a simple shot, slingshots. It's 45 pounds roll, shoots a full-length arrow. Damn. I basically finished it tonight, got my reel finally here after trying to design it. Actually, I'll have it out this weekend.
I saw some guys shooting with those on the internet last year. That's pretty cool.
This is really, honestly, I have some custom longbows, and this thing is just as fast. It's incredible.
So
compact.
So the John boat that you were working on, I know you were working on a little bobtail motor. How did all that go? Did you get all that together yet?
Yep, it's all ready. I got to get it registered. And other than that, it's ready to go. Long tail motor. It's funny. I hit Joppa Town last couple weekends. I've seen four of them already. Seems like a little trend picked up.
Hard freight's going to be out of motor. Yeah.
Well, everybody's thinking right. You know, we've used these kind of boats down here for a long, long, long time, you know, just because of how shallow the water is. And I think that this is really going to open up a whole new opportunity for guys up there with those bobtail motors. You know what I mean? There's
absolutely.
Tails, so.
I mean, I basically last couple of weeks, I've just been kind of going back, checking areas. I've been Dundee, Saltpeter, gunpowder completely all over that, bush again, up and down, everywhere, and just checking to see what's going on. Gunpowder, absolutely insane. What I'm seeing is, it's scaring me, actually.
Wow.
I went last weekend on a super high tide set for 9 hours and watched the drop tide. And I counted over 100 snakehead coming out of the reef.
Shoo-wee.
Wow.
And one cove. That's one cove. That's not, I didn't move. I didn't, I was on a dragon that I missed.
What?
Strike. Like, absolutely insane, but it was insane what I'm seeing. And they're chasing bait fish as the tide drops. So I started watching what they're doing, and when the tide drops and there's little pools filled with those reeds, those snakehead are just swimming around. And I don't know if, you know, if they're bass, whatever. I didn't get that close, couldn't get that close enough to see, but they are just sitting in there swimming around, chasing them. And then when the water gets so low, they're just basically sliding over grass to drop back in the water.
Yeah. So
it's insane.
We've seen like where we get a flood tide like that, you know, so to say, then the tide drops back out and they're on the ground like that.
Roy, your boat is what, 14 foot?
Which one?
Your little John boat, did you put your mud motor on?
No, it's a 1236.
Well, how fast does that motor push that?
It should be right around 15 mile per hour.
That's all you really need.
That's all I need. Then go in inches. Yeah, even my kayak, because I have the pedal drive, I'm limited with the drive to about 15 inches of water.
Yeah.
So I've run into a couple spots. I ran up in the Saltpeter, and I wish I had that thing on the water already. Like, I was way back in under the train bridge and got stuck back in there in my boat.
Have you been fishing up the river at all up Susquehanna? You been doing any of that?
Once it warmed up, I'd snake that brain. But yeah, I mean, I'm hearing chatter starting, you know, sporadic, extremely. Blue cats, they're there.
Fletcher wants to know what you caught on your new rod.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Fletcher's asking, have you caught anything on your new rod yet?
Not yet. I missed everything last weekend. I was so rusty. I didn't expect all that topwater action. It is absolutely incredible.
Though. Wow. I mean, I'm glad to hear you got the action going on. You know what I mean? It's good to have some action. Good to have some fish to catch. So how about the Bush River? You been doing anything in there at all?
Yeah, the Bush is insane. It's everything. Upper Bay is, the snakehead population is absolutely insane this year.
Well, I appreciate you keeping it real. You know what I mean? So, I mean.
No, I'll tell you straight up. There's bird everywhere. I've been out just, we had a temperature drop. The water got, 52 Saturday, Sunday I went out in the rain, hit early, watched the forecast. Temperature came up to 67, fish everywhere. I counted over 200 fish I saw this weekend. Holy cow. All snake.
That's amazing.
Visible. I know that. I mean,
let me just kind of ask this, because I know you're there and you see it firsthand. You know, the Bush River, Otter Creek, that was always my favorite stomping grounds other than our trips to Hartford Glen or Winter's Run and things like that. So let's talk a little bit about how was the perch this year up there? I mean, did you guys see a good yellow perch run in the bush? I mean, what happened with that?
Gone.
There was nothing there.
Gone. You can ask all the old time. I pretty much basically focused on blue. I basically switched to invasive species. Right. Blue cats. And then when it gets warm enough, I go snakehead fishing. But
now
the yellow perch in the bush wasn't. I know where you're talking. I'm not going to say the name, obviously, on this, but limited, extremely limited. Even Susquehanna location.
That's kind of
nothing like
too.
It was.
Yeah. So just to give me an idea. So last year, if you were out riding around, compared to what you see this year, I mean, did you see half as many last year? Let's just look at the last 3 years. I know you've been running pretty hard here after them for a couple years. Okay.
Last year,
yeah,
I would not even be targeting snakehead topwater right now.
Okay.
It's that insane. Like, what I saw this last, I've been out solo just running. I've put probably 70 miles on my kayak in the last 3 weeks. Just running, searching rivers and locations.
Mark just chimed in here on the thread. He said there was no yellow perch up in the Bush River this year either. So
there's nothing there.
I mean, I talked to the netters and you know, the fish potters and things like that, and they were all saying the same thing. You know, I'm just trying to see the correlation.
The blue
that's fish, all.
The guy that blue cat fishes Susquehanna. You know, other he perch fishes a little bit here and there. Same thing, and it's insane. Like I said, I watched them this weekend when the tide was dropping. I sat and watched to see what they were doing, just to see activity, trying to understand, okay, what do I got to look at this year?
Right.
They're chasing small fry and bait. When these tides drop, they go in those deep waters. They don't go there to hide. They're going there to feed.
Yep.
They come out, and they get those little pools. You know, you get, as it drops, you get these little canals, and they'll sit in those pools, and I watch fish just spin out, just chase bait. It's crazy.
So here's the good thing, and I want to bring this out. So I understand that you're going to be helping out with this tournament on the Upper Bay. Adam, are we going out of Mariner or are we going out of Dundee? I think that we've kind of swapped some things around there yet, but I know you're going to be kind of spearheading the kayak side of that. So let's update everybody a little bit on explain to people how the kayak side is going to work for you, you know, and how we can get that, you know, out there more in the platforms and social media.
Well, the kayak side, as far as I talked to Scott the other day, we and him had a little conversation with how Joppatown was the original plan. It's so crowded. We're thinking Dundee and go out of there and then run up to Flying Point for the way in or everything.
Okay.
We got a few plans in process to keep cheating at a limit if possible.
Right.
But it's a free launch, huge parking lot, huge backup parking lot, and
they're going to cap the kayaks. Did we have a number on that? Was it 100? Is that what I heard, or 80?
I think it's 50. 50 is what I heard from Scott. But like I said, it might be that I had talked to Scott. I think it was 50, but it might be 80, 100. I don't know.
I think it's 80 boats and 50 kayaks. Yeah, that's what Scott said.
But we'll keep everybody 50, updated. 50. I just want to get the ball out there so people got the date marked, you know, August the 14th.
Yeah, 50 kayaks in Joppatown, obviously. August in Joppatown, so many wreck boats. There's definitely an issue there.
Right. I'll tell you what. Yeah, I mean, in Joppatown,
about that.
I mean, as far as you guys going in Joppatown and doing some work there, I think that that'd be a great place because of just the amount of fish that are in there. You know what I mean? There'd be plenty of opportunity for everybody, no matter where you go. So, all right, well, look, Roy, we wanted to have you on here, talk to you for a little bit, you know, just get caught up what's going on the west side. We're going to jump off of here. I'm going to move on next Rob Valentine, get ready. We're getting ready to give you a call. Roy, look, if there's anything that we can do for you, you know, we're here for you. We'll promote anything that we can. We appreciate all the sharing you're doing, all the stuff you're putting on our page. And you're like we've always told you, yes, you're a big part of our community. If there's anything that we can ever do to help you on your end, you've got our support. We want you to know that.
Great. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Another great podcast.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Glad to have you on, brother. All right. So let's see. I got something over here to get away to. One second.
Holy cow, where are you going? Oh, you're going for the big guns.
I'm going for something nice, I think. We'll give away
one more of those.
Let's see here. We got some more nice tumblers here. Give them all away.
What do they got to say?
I don't know, man.
Great invasives count?
Great invasives count. Put that in there. Hashtag great invasives count. You put that in there? And you can have that tumbler right there. All right, so next up, I've got my good friend Robert Ballantyne. We're going to talk about Conowingo Dam. We're going to talk about the Shad Lift. We're going to talk about what's going on. And we're going to talk a little bit of fishing with Rob, too. Rob, talk to me, babe. What's going on up there at Susquehanna? We got some stuff flowing up there. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Good, I like how you put me on last so you can make sure I can't.
Oh, no, you're not last. We got a special surprise on the last one, baby.
This guy's going to want to talk about all kinds of stupid stuff that doesn't apply, right?
So let's talk about fishing here lately. And I know you've been down. For those of you who don't know, Rob's a biologist, and he's pretty familiar with these fish and has done a lot of research as an outside, you know, independent on his own, you know, with no collaboration with us whatsoever. I did want to talk to him a little bit today about the Conowingo Dam and the Shad Lift and the implementation of the new program that we're working on up there at Conowingo Dam. So, Rob, let's talk a little bit about the dam first. What's going on and how's it going?
Yeah, so I made a phone call yesterday, reached out to a couple people because I don't get the on-the-ground information myself where I'm at, but I reached out to Sheila Eiler, who is with the Fish and Wildlife Service, and she gave me a little update on what's going on up there. They started operating that west lift like we talked about a couple weeks ago, where they're going to be hand sorting shad out of there and invasives. So anyhow, they started April 1st, and they've been operating every other day at this point, and then they'll go to every day soon, and then at this point, they've got 86 American shad in the lift and 53 snakeheads to this point.
Wow.
No word on the flatheads and blue cats of what they've gotten out of there. But, you know, as was planned, as we had talked before, the DNR, Maryland DNR has been taking them away. And I'm not sure what the plan is or what they're doing with them. That'd be a good question for Joe Lowe.
Yeah, we're going to have
so for every, talk a little bit about that. Every three shad they get two snakeheads is basically what it amounts to at this point.
Yeah, and you know, they're operating every other day, so I just figured out the numbers, and it's like, that's about eight snakeheads a day they're getting in there.
Wow.
So that's 200, but, you know, that's 240 that, and a 30-day spread. All,
you know, it's always, is it going to stay at that level? You know, usually when you start things, it's just like, you get that big storm in the beginning, and then kind of tapers off. So, hopefully. It'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, are they, beyond Conowingo and the Upper Bay, I think it's going to be a very eye-opening year around the bay.
I do,
for this stuff, you know?
I do, too.
And it reminds me, real quickly, I actually wanted to talk to Kaz about it last week, and I forgot to call him, but having Dave Sikorsky on here was great because that's a great reminder to get involved with that great invasives count.
Yeah.
Because I think he just said a few minutes ago they had like 40 some snakeheads recorded, you know. I mean, I know friend, I know my friends and myself have caught more than that this year alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And so unless you're willing to get the data out there, you know, you got to be the word on the ground, you know, fill that information out, let them know what's going on.
Yeah. The citizen science part of that makes it so it's unique because it's not just, you don't have your biologist that can only get out once a month or once a week or whenever they can do it. It's everybody, whoever they're fishing. I mean, whenever you're fishing, even if you're not targeting invasive species, if you catch one, put it in iAngler, boom, it's done. You upload the info and it's there for the agencies, the right agencies to look at that info.
I mean, I agree, you know, this is a great way for us to collect real time data, you know, and that's kind of like what we're looking at. And that's, I'm excited next week to have Joe here so we can update some real time data and show some people some hours. That's why I want to bring everybody in here today, just to kind of get an overview of what everybody's seeing in this big spread. Okay. And how can we approach it from here? What can we do? You know, what can we do to keep harvesting a few fish here and there and keep them coming out the water? I agree with you. I think this is going to be a real big eye opener this year for a lot of us in a lot of different fisheries and a lot of different tributaries, you know? So,
I know, a lot of the effects of invasives, you know, are speculative, you know what I mean? They're not scientifically proven at this time, you know? And cause like you've all guys talk and everyone knows, and you know, science is a very slow moving machine. But that anecdotal data that citizen science is collecting is very important. Because it really gives you like a flash picture of what's happening in real time, before the scientific studies catch up, you know what I mean? As far as numbers of invasives, that's very important.
So many different areas too.
Yeah, different areas. I mean, it's amazing information, you know, that's very important.
So let's talk a little bit about your last couple trips down here. We know you've been knocking the dickens out of them like everybody else. What's been working for you? What has your approach been for success?
I don't know, man. I had a Gary moment last week. I saw him post something about taking a film crew out and struggling. And I had a buddy from work that was dying to catch a snakehead. And I'm not kidding you, man. We fished 10 hours until he finally catch one, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it was on like the second to the last cast. And then you stay there for another half burned. Hour.
Yeah. Literally. I laid my wrist on the edge of my hand on the muffler the mud motor. That was the highlight of my day.
Wow.
That was the only one I got all day.
It was kind of funny because me and Eddie went a different direction, you know, to see what we could find, you know, for film. And then, you know, Gary went, they went another direction in the boat to go look. And, you know, it was pretty crazy because even where me and Eddie were, I mean, we were watching them.
Oh my goodness. That was the most frustrating part. We were right on them, watching them swirl. I mean, you could see them chasing bait, but they were just not touching the lures at all. Man.
I literally watched one about 10 pounds playing in the corner on this driveway.
And I mean, flopping around.
He'd come in there, he'd sit, you'd drop one on his head and he'd spook out. And then, you know, he'd come back in there again and lay back up in there again. You'd hit him on the head again, he'd spook back out, you know? So, I don't know.
I think the worst part was when we left there to go try a different spot, and then we get a phone call about 3 hours later saying the bite just turned on and they just hammered him, and that's the same exact spot.
One of those late afternoon days.
Yep. Yeah, the very spot that we were at early in the day, I think Kyle was there. Kyle left, he went back to work, and then we stayed there for a little bit. We didn't catch anything, and then we pulled out of there, and then Kyle came back later in the day to that same spot, and it was on like Donkey Kong. And the good thing was we had some visitors here from North Bay that weren't doing pretty good. They weren't doing well. So we sent them over there with Kyle,
and they
were able to get on some fish. You know, I think Abby caught her first chatterbait fish, and you know, she was all excited about that. Poor Dan. I don't know what Dan's deal is, but every time Dan's come here, he's come up empty handed with a snakehead.
Afternoon's the key. I mean, I went Sunday morning for about an hour just trying, and it didn't do anything. And I had some stuff to do in the marsh. So I fiddled around that with deer stand stuff all day, and then went back 5 o'clock and second cast, bang, you know, caught 128 inches.
So. You had some pretty good meal spread laid out there this weekend, man. Yeah. You had some, looked like you were eating pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I thought I had the gout, so I didn't eat any red meat or fish or anything for a couple of weeks. So I did chow down when he cut me loose. It wasn't a gout.
So, Rob, have you been doing any other fishing up there? I know you've been doing a little shad fishing. I saw some of that. I saw you out with Dave Jingleheimer. Weren't you out with him doing some things the other day?
Yeah, it's doing some shad fishing and waiting for that to turn on. I'll get up this weekend and hit some American shad, maybe try some crappies in the reservoirs or something like that.
Now, let me ask you a question. Well, back on the American shad, you know, the number of 86. Now, being that we didn't run the lift last year at all, so there's no number to really look at from last year. But if we went to the year before, do they have a number that was recorded from that West lift on American shad that we might be able to get a look at?
Well, the year before that, they weren't running the West lift. They were running the East lift. So
okay.
The East lift, if you remember, is volitional passage where the lift the hopper up to go into a channel viewing window. They count them.
Okay, so
like 2019 was like upper 4,000.
At this
time, was like the upper.
By this time, you mean?
No, total for the year.
Okay,
that is a crazy difference if you're talking about the same time frame. That is insane.
Yeah, but even those numbers are fairly poor. And that it was interesting because the Delaware River, which is the longest free flowing river east of the Mississippi, it's undammed. They had a very good year in 2017, and that was kind of funny because I'm not sure how they count them up there, and I'm not sure what the numbers are, because the dam definitely allows you to count fish. But in 2017, they had high numbers there, and then the Susquehanna also had like 16,000 that year. So those numbers are, you know, it just makes you think that, you know, there's two rivers that are major rivers that are close to each other, had good years, and I don't know what the trends are now. It'll be interesting to look at that. I'm not sure.
Right.
What the herring? So as far as herring go, are they moving herring through the ladder too? I mean, is it so? Kind of explain to the people how this lift kind of works, how they're able to remove the snakeheads from it.
Yeah, so they're going back to an older system, like when I worked there back in the early 90s, where they bring that hopper up on the west side, and if you go there and park and walk down the fish below the dam there, you'll be able to see the lift operate. You know, they'll let it fish for a certain amount of time. They have an attraction flow coming out of a channel.
Right.
And it basically, the fish swim up there following it, and then they close the doors on the hopper, lift the hopper up, bring it over on a rail. It's all automated system, you know, run by an operator, and then they'll basically dump that whole load, water, fish, everything, into a big tank, like the size of I forget how big it is, but it's a big tank.
A big jacuzzi,
know?
Let's say.
A big stainless steel tank. And, you know, usually two or three people get in there, and chest waders, and they have like these just framed up nets, like a rectangle with a net strung in it. And you just kind of flip. You scoop and you look for shad, and you flip and you scoop and flip. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, it all sounds fun until you get 60 bazillion gizzard shad. Like, yeah.
And we know how that goes. Like, God, I remember years ago.
They will get 60 bazillion gizzard shad. There's no doubt about it, you know.
I remember years ago, you just made me have a thought. We used to throw that big net off the catwalk down and then pull them gizzard shad up and then cut them up with a bait, you know, cut them fillets off the back of them and use a bait and needle run down them. Pen 3-0 senator, you know, rod and reel set up, you're bouncing it off, back trolling, we called it, bouncing off the bottom with them big hunks of gizzard shad. But yeah. All right, well, look, Rob, the next guest is going to be really, really, really important for you because that's where your new scales are coming from. We're getting ready to talk to Mr. Thomas out there.
Man, I cannot wait to hear the story because he just posted that very vague picture on there, and I'm like, oh God, tell us something about it. You know,
he just wanted to leave you that cliffhanger.
Where,
that's all.
What something, right?
Well, we're gonna give him a call, and we're gonna get him straight and get him on the line. So you take her easy, and I'll be back in touch with you in another week or two just to update the shad stuff and see where we are. How's that sound, brother?
You bet, guys. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, thanks
guys.
Again, Rob.
Thank you for all your help. Yeah. We appreciate you, brother.
Bye-bye. You bet. Take care, guys.
All right. So while we're waiting to call here, Mr. Thomas, so our next guest is our MEPS Angler of the Week. And,
that's right. We'll put his picture on in a minute.
And a lot of you have been...
A lot of people have already seen this picture.
You've already seen the picture. Everybody's been trolling it the last 2 days. You know, he's got a lot of action going on there. We're getting ready to give Mr. Tom a call. We're going to get some scale samples for Mr. Rob and Mr. Jim to do some checking on them. In the meantime, let's go ahead and give away an Addiction Baits inline here. If you'd like this Addiction Baits from Daryl Willie, say I am addicted. Put that in the comment.
I like that. I am addicted.
I am addicted, and you can have that right there. So look, I've got my good friend Thomas here on the phone. You know, y'all were watching his post yesterday. Put that picture up, Ray. Let him see this big dragon here.
Look at that thing.
So,
goodness.
You know, Tom's going to be our MEPS Angler Spotlight of the Week. So, you know, you get a free MEPS from MEPS. You can pick it up here at the store.
Yep, pick it up here at the store.
Let's talk a little bit about your trip, Tom. Tell us a little bit about that fish.
Awesome, man.
Thank you for coming on, too. We appreciate that.
Last minute. But it all turned out good. It was Tuesday night, actually, I shot that one, well, gigged it. So we went just to test our trolling motor out. We had issues at the beginning of the year with that. So we went out and plucked around, and then my best friend, Hunter, he was on his boat. He picked this little spot up, and we went in this cove, and there she was.
So this was over in the Potomac area. Is that where you were, over on the west side?
Yep, I was. Real close to my house.
Don't even know where. We don't need your honey hole. I'm just trying to gauge here with my next question. So, you're over there on that side, what are you seeing number wise? Are you seeing numbers still? Are you seeing decline? I mean, what are you seeing over there? Talk to us a little bit.
I'm not seeing a decline at all. I think if anything, they're just it's a steady like they're just maintaining right now.
And the reason I want to touch on that with you is because, you know, you shoot a bow, you know, and everybody wants to say that, you know, the bow guys knocked the numbers down, you know, that they depleted the fish over in the Potomac. There's nothing left. And, you know, our data actually says something completely different than what we're hearing, you know what I'm saying? And what we're seeing in black and white is not what people are trying to say. You know, I hear folks out there, you know, they want to point fingers at everybody for everything, but we're all here to have a good time. You know what I mean? We're all here to catch fish. We all have a license. We've all earned the right to eat whatever we want to eat. So, you know,
exactly.
Over there in the Potomac, when you're out there at night, like, so we've been talking to a few people and everybody says, you know, you don't really get to see the depth and the scope of what's on the bottom until you get into them shallows at night with a bright light. So, you know, when you're in there and you're seeing this stuff, I mean, are you guys still seeing, are you seeing big bass in here with these snakeheads or are the snakeheads pushing the bass out? What do you see in a correlation of mostly?
Really where I hunt at, up there at the upper Potomac, we go out the bass, where the bass are, the snakehead are. So they're just mingling with each other.
Now, bass size wise, what are you seeing? You seeing big bass, little bit of everything, or are you seeing mostly big fish?
Mostly big ones.
See, because that's what we're hearing. We're hearing the snakeheads are all different sizes, but the predominant largemouth that they're seeing are mostly bigger fish, bigger class fish, nothing smaller. So that would be kind of a more true statement that we're hearing then.
It's a good mixed bag of fish right now in the Potomac. I see bass, carp, gar.
What else are you guys out there hunting night besides snakeheads?
That's all I'm after. Then I'll go after. then I used to go after carp. I used to the blue cats when we're in them thick. We'll shoot the crap out of them. But I'm mainly that's all I hunt is snakeheads. That's all I care about.
Well, I want to say thank you for letting us talk to you today, and I will get in touch with you to get some of those scale samples. I'm not sure what you're going to do with the fish. If you do decide to eat the fish, the biologists have asked, could they have the otolith out of the skull, which is a little piece of bone in there that really helps them distinguish the age.
Can you just freeze the carcass?
Gary was just saying, you know, if you don't mount it or whatever, you know, and you wanted to just freeze the carcass or whatever, if you do clean it, you could do that too. You know, that's something that we might be able to do.
Yeah, we'll do that. Whatever y'all want to do. I shoot plenty of them. Well, everybody does down our way. So.
If you can just stick the front half of the fish, basically the head and shoulders up. into a bag or something, stick it in the freezer, and we'll get it from you.
We'll figure a way to either get everybody to meet you somewhere halfway, and I'll bring you a special prize for helping us out. How's that sound?
Sounds good, man. Well, any way we can help you out, for sure.
All right. Hey, Tom.
I want to help with the research and getting rid of these things.
Well, hey, man, we need you, and we appreciate you. So, again, man, thank you so much for letting us reach out to you. Thank you for the story on that fish. And, man, what a great fish, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll be posting stuff on the
You'll be internet famous if you keep getting them.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, what was the weight of that fish again?
That was 17.6.
17.6 pounds, baby. Oh,
yep.
Gosh.
That's a
hog. We got home at 12, put it on ice, and went to work, and I weighed it the next day. So I'm sure it lost an ounce or two.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it lost at least that. I mean, that cold will make that body kind of suppress a little bit, squeeze out of anything that's there.
Still a nice fish.
Well, Tom, look, we're going to jump off here. We're going to close this thing out. We're going to get moving forward. And, look, we look forward to more posts from you. And, again, man, thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Y'all have a good one.
All right. So I think we pretty much covered a pretty good bit of stuff here today.
That's it.
I'm not sure what you guys are thinking. I guess we're going to be getting out of here. So what do you want to do? You want to leave with a little crabby jingle? I know we got to give away some crabs real quick.
Yeah, give away your crabs real quick.
So it's time. It's now.
You need to announce the winners of the other stuff first.
Oh, okay. What do we got?
So we've got.
What we got?
Oh, let's see. So the cup, the winner of the cup, Richard Miller. Richard Miller won the cup, and the addiction baits was Thomas Sard. So there we go for that.
All right, so look, so you guys, so all these prizes that were won today, you have to come to the Wolford store to pick up.
That's right.
You have 14 days to claim your prize. If you don't claim your prize, we're not holding the prize. If you want us to ship the prize to you, you can pay us for shipping, and we can mail it next door out to you. We can figure out something like that. So, I don't know. You got anything, Gary, that you want to touch on before we get out of here?
We can talk about the club.
That's right. Let's talk about the club.
So, we got the club. First meeting is going to be May 19th. It's going to be at, I think what I say was at 98 Sunburst Highway, which is the American Legion. Just before, if you're basically coming from Salisbury through Cambridge, it's the last place before you start over the bridge to the Choptank River. It's right there on the right. Brand new facility. They had a fire a couple years back, and they rebuilt the whole facility. It's going to be 7 p.m., and we'll have more up about the date, sign up and all that on Blackwater's Edge.
Yep. As soon as possible.
Now, you did have another announcement that we wanted to make about a portion of...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that.
I remembered something important this time.
So we contacted Rick Aben yesterday, and what we're going to do is $5 from every club member's membership will go to Friends of Blackwater.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
We're going to set that up for them.
Everybody who signs up for the club... We're donating $5 of the sign-up fee is going straight to the Friends of Blackwater to help out with everything in the Blackwater region.
Those folks do a lot of stuff.
And absolutely. The cool thing is this is like a once-a-month party we can all have up on 50. You know, everybody loves catching snakeheads and eating snakeheads or whatever you want to do with snakeheads. Anybody's welcome to join the club. At the club, we'll have special guests. We'll have special prizes. We'll have giveaways. We'll have all kinds of good stuff. It's going to open the door for you guys to get special deals on different products with different manufacturers and things like that.
If you're a club member and you can't attend a meeting, because everybody can attend a meeting, I think 70 is going to be our limit in the beginning, but if you're a club member, you can watch it on the internet.
Right.
But you have to be a member to be able to watch it.
Paid member. Exactly right. Paid member.
So, now you can sing.
I can sing now? What do you want me to sing?
Well, you got to give away your crabs first.
Do you want me to sing something else there for?
No.
Do you know anything else? No, go ahead and sing that.
Okay. It's time, it's now, the Sunday Fun Day Giveaway, brought to you by Blackwater's Edge and the Crab Stand. Look, I said it last week, we're going to give away a bushel. Look, so we're going to give away a bushel, but rather than just give a bushel to one person, I'm going to split that bushel, and I'm going to give two people each one half a bushel. So, the winner of the first half a bushel of mixed Maryland crabs is going to be Amanda Smith. You get that half a bushel. Chuck Westerman, you get that second half a bushel of mixed Maryland crabs. Look, folks, If you haven't had Maryland crabs and you haven't had crabs yet this year, come on out to the crab stand. Okay, we're up there in Park and Maryland. We have another place in Abingdon to be open in 2 weeks at least. I mean, we're going to try to open this week, but we're just not getting a lot of crabs yet. We're still just getting a lot of females and a few males. So if you want to know what the crab stand's all about, feel free to check it out on Facebook, and we'll leave you with this little crabby jingle. My crabs, they have three first names. It's Heavy, Fool, and Fat. My crabs, they have a fourth name. Absolutely Mustard Packed. So if you ask me where they're from, they're 100% guaranteed Maryland number ones. You want to join me, Gary?
No.
At the crab stand, here's a fact I know for sure, you're coming back. Kapow! Kapow! Kapow!